Thank you. Good to see you, all six of them here this morning, and all you out there that in far, far away land. Blessings to you. Happy Sabbath. And I just have to share with you the congregation day. We have the camera lady, Sarah. We have the PA man, Charlie, on here. And in the back pew, in this conference room, we have four Ninja Turtles, a teddy bear, and another turtle sitting in the chair. I think these are Sarah's mascots. I'm not sure. No, she's saying no, so I don't know where they came from. Are you serious? Susan brought all these, and Nancy? Wow. Well, at least Robin, our speaker this morning, has a live audience, somewhat. Anyway, happy Sabbath, everyone. We are glad that you've joined us, and we hope that those that haven't connected yet will connect with us. The rain is very refreshing. We need this rain. The land has been dried, and as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, you know, our land is dry. Right now, our nation is in great upheaval over the virus, and now these demonstrations. And let's not lose focus. Let's keep our eyes upward, and let's remember who really is behind all this mess that we're in. And like Brother Robin was telling me a while ago, the messier it gets, the worse it gets, the closer we come to Jesus coming. And we just praise God for that. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you so much for your people. And I pray that we'll not just do business as usual, that will not just react in a way that, well, these things happen over and over again, but they will really sense that you desire to come and come soon. And as the winds blow, Father, may your people be sealed before those angels that completely go. But help us to keep our eyes on you, to walk with you, to be faithful with you. And we pray this morning a very special blessing upon Robin as he brings us our message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. And I'd like to add my prayer to the pastor's prayer. So if you'd bow your heads for a moment. Father, we worship you today because you are the creator of heaven and earth. Each Sabbath is a celebration of your creative power. We sometimes forget that we're in a battlefield and that we're soldiers. Satan's working hard to weaken our faith in you and our love for you. And he wants to destroy us because he hates you and everything that you love. Father, some of us are sick today. Heal us. Some of us are weak today. Give us strength. Some of us are discouraged. Give us faith. And some of us have made bad choices. Please give us wisdom. Give to each of us what we need today to be victorious in you. We ask for forgiveness for the times this week when we have thought or said or done something that was not in harmony with your will, Lord. Change us to be more like Jesus. We hurt ourselves. We hurt those around us. But most of all, our sins put Jesus on the cross. Lord, as I speak today, no matter what I say, may your words come through to each and every person that's listening, that they will hear you speaking to their hearts. And now we ask for your Spirit to come and fill us with your love, for you and for each of your children. Teach us to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done always. Amen. Let's take a look at our Bibles. Our main text for today is Revelation 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We live in time. Almost everything we do is connected with time. And we mark events to help us keep track of that time. We say things like, well, while I was in school, or before we were married, or after I got the job, last year, next week, a few minutes ago. We mark off the years with birthdays. We mark off major scholastic accomplishments with graduations, leaving elementary school, 8th grade graduation, graduating from high school, 12th grade graduation, some graduating from college or advanced degrees. Some people celebrate their first job. For many of us, that's very, very important. And of course, marriage is a big event in our lives, and having children. There are many others that we could mention, and each one of us has our own special list of those events. But one event that is very special to me was the day that I publicly acknowledged my allegiance to Jesus Christ. I clearly remember the day that I was baptized. On that day, I publicly declared my allegiance to God, and that changed my life and is still changing my life. And I'm glad to say that God's still working on me. All the events that I have mentioned so far were things that I expected to happen. You know, I knew when my birthday was coming, and so I was prepared for that. I studied for months with a pastor before I took my baptismal vows and was baptized. I studied for years in school before I graduated from elementary school and then high school and then college. I was engaged for well over a year before I got married. And of course, I knew when my wife was pregnant, so I had months to prepare for children being born. And even though the event sometimes was a long time in coming, the actual event itself didn't usually take very long. In some cases, just a few minutes. In others, hours, and in a few days. And then it was over. It was a memory. It was something that could never be repeated exactly the same way again. We mark off Earth's history with events too. One of the things that we say frequently is B.C. and A.D. B.C., of course, meaning before Christ. A.D., short for Anno Domini, meaning for the year of the Lord, meaning also, you know, from the Lord. How many days or, how many years it's been since the Lord was here. We don't know how long God took to plan the creation of this world. But we do know how long it took him to make it. It took him 6 days to create this world. Exodus 20:11 tells us, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is." I don't know, these types of things always fascinate me. There are science says that they know of about 400,000 plants in the world. 400,000. Well, that's a lot. But there are a lot more animals. Science has been able to name, catalog, somewhere about 1.7 million different animals. Of course, most of those are insects, but there are a lot of other things in there too. But they know that there's a lot more out there. And so they guesstimate that there may be as many as 9 million animals in the world. Now, stop and think about this. God took 24 hours for each day of creation. So on the third day, during that 24 hours, he made the dry land appear. He separated the waters into seas, and he created 400,000 plants. That's five plants every second for 24 hours. That's fast. But remember, there are a lot more animals. Of course, God took 2 days to make all the animals. He made it on the fifth and the sixth day. He made all of the sea creatures, the birds, the animals, those 9 million in 48 hours. Well, that averages out to 52 animals every second for 48 hours. Things were really happening fast during creation. And I, for one, am anxiously looking forward to watching God recreate this world. In Genesis chapters 6 through 9, we find the story of Noah. God had warned Noah that the world was going to be destroyed by a flood and that he was supposed to build an ark. Noah warned the people, and he built the ark. And finally, the flood came after 120 years. Now, it must seem like a long time, 120 years preaching about the flood coming and building this ark. And, of course, something like that had never happened before. And so most people just didn't believe him. But the actual event itself didn't take long in comparison to the preparation time. When it was time, God told his family to go in the ark, and they went in the ark, and they waited there for 7 days. And then it started to rain, just like it is outside right now. But it rained for 40 days and 40 nights without stopping. And it lasted for a year, that flood. Changed our world completely. It's quite different than what it was before the flood. Jesus tells us about that. He says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." You know, they weren't paying any attention. They didn't realize something was about to happen. "And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." But life doesn't always go the way we plan it. All of these things so far have been things that there was a time we knew it was going to happen. It was going to take some time. But sometimes things happen unexpectedly. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden before they sinned. The Bible doesn't tell us that. I'm sure that they didn't expect those terrible changes that quickly took place when they ate that fruit. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And in just a few minutes, Adam and Eve made a choice that has affected all of us, the entire world, for thousands of years. A couple of other items that we find in the Bible, there are lots of them. I've just picked a few as examples of things that happened quickly. In Genesis 37, we find the story of Joseph being sold by his brothers. That happened in just a few hours. In Exodus chapter 14, we find the Egyptian army destroyed in a matter of minutes. In Daniel 5 and Jeremiah 51, it tells us the story of the fall of Babylon, which happened in one night. And I'm pretty sure that when David took lunch to his brothers on the battlefield, that he didn't expect that he would be going out there and fighting with Goliath that afternoon. But he did. Jesus lived here on earth for 33 years before the day he entered into Jerusalem as a king. 1 week later, he died on a cross. God had waited thousands of years before sending Jesus to fulfill the promise that he had made to Adam and Eve. And God, talking to Satan, said, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It happened quickly. It wasn't long and drawn out. From Thursday night to Friday afternoon, Jesus suffered and died. Many other things could be given. The point is that things happen quickly sometimes, and they may affect you or your family, your neighborhood, your country, even the whole world. Most of you won't remember this because it happened before most of you were born. In fact, you're going to have to probably be in your 60s to remember this event personally. But I'm sure that most, if not all of you, have seen pictures of it, read about it, and heard about it in school and on TV. I was 15 at the time. It was Friday, and it started out just like most other weekdays did for me. I got up, I had breakfast, got ready for school. I walked the 6 blocks that it took for me to get over to the school. I was in the classroom waiting for school to start. I happened to be standing right in the middle of the room at 8:30. It was in San Francisco. I was a student at San Francisco Junior Academy. And I've been back a few times, and every time I go back to that spot that I was standing that day. And I stand there, and I can see what happened next. Our principal, Mr. Jenks, came running into the room and told us that the president had just been shot. It was November 22nd, 1963. John F. Kennedy had been assassinated in Dallas, Texas. If I could see you, I'd be asking how many of you remember where you were and what you were doing at that particular moment. And those of us that are a little older, I'm sure most of us can say, yes, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing, because I know and I remember. I've never forgotten where I was and what I was doing at that moment. Well, I wasn't sure that I'd heard Mr. Jenks correctly, but he repeated himself. I was stunned. Was this really, really happening? Our president had been shot. I didn't know what to do. I was sad, but I didn't know exactly why. In just a moment, my whole world had changed. It wasn't as safe as I had thought it was. They dismissed us from school. We all went home. But I didn't know what to do with myself the rest of the day. I was just out of touch with my normal patterns, and it was just hard to get into a routine. One minute everything was routine, and the next it was just all changed. On Monday, November 25th, 1963, JFK was laid to rest in Arlington National Cemetery. I've had the privilege of being in D.C. twice, and both times I made it a point to go to Arlington. And I visited other places too, but I always made sure that I would go to Kennedy's grave. And if I ever go back to Washington, D.C., I will do it again. Maybe you have been there too. But it was an important point in my life, something that changed me. More of you remember this next one. You need to be in your 40s to remember this one. Where were you at 8:38 on January 28th, 1986? I remember. I was right up here at the school. I was walking up the ramp in front of the 7th and 8th grade classroom. One of the teachers came running out of the office and shouted that the Challenger had just exploded. Again, I was stunned. Could this really be happening? Could one of our space shuttles have exploded with seven people on board. And this one was, I felt, especially tragic. It's always tragic when you lose life, but this one was different than all the other ones before because they had chosen a teacher to be on board. And because of that, this was being watched live all over the country. Schools everywhere had kids sitting down watching it on TV, and they all watched what happened. And of course, he was a teacher, just like me. 1 minute, the day was routine. The next, a day I will never forget. If you're in your 20s, you'll remember 9/11. You don't need to say anything else. Just 9/11. And everybody who is in their mid-20s or older will remember exactly what you're talking about. It started for most of us at 5:46 a.m. I was up and getting ready to go to school. It was Tuesday morning, September 11, 2001. And by 7:03, the last plane had crashed. In 1 hour and 17 minutes, four planes had crashed. Two into the Twin Towers, one into the Pentagon, and one into a field in Pennsylvania. 2,996 people died. Over 6,000 were injured. The world has never been the same since. And it happened so quickly. And that brings us to today. 133 days ago, on January 19th, 2020, the first official case of the coronavirus in the United States was discovered in Snohomish County in the state of Washington. 80 days ago, on March 11th, 2020, the World Health Organization declared the COVID-19 as a worldwide pandemic. 77 days ago, 11 weeks ago, the churches were closed to those who were over 70 or that had some kind of a compromised immune system because of some medical issue. It was 11 weeks ago. 10 weeks ago, 70 days ago, the churches were closed for everyone. And 67 days ago, on March 23rd, 2020, the stay-at-home order was issued for Oregon. Churches were closed. Schools were closed. Non-essential travel was prohibited. Vacations were canceled. There were no sports events. Parks were all closed. The beaches were closed. So where were you going to go? One interesting thing I discovered while I was looking through this, cruise ships. I wondered about them. Cruise ships can't operate in the United States or Canada until at least November of this year. So if you were planning on a cruise this year, forget it. It's not going to happen. And then, of course, there's the social distancing rules, staying a certain distance away from people, wearing masks. And we are subject to penalties if we break any of these laws. It's a Class C misdemeanor, which is 30 days in jail and or a $1,250 fine for breaking these rules. You know, when and how we worship is now being dictated by the government. Religious liberty is quickly disappearing. Have you ever seen anything like what's going on right now? I haven't. 3 months ago, if I had told you that every church in the entire nation would be closed, you'd have laughed at me. If I'd told you that 40 million people would lose their jobs in just a few weeks, you'd have shaken your head and said, no, can't happen. If I told you that travel came almost to a halt, that you would not be allowed to go and visit a sick one dying in the hospital, that you wouldn't be allowed to go to church, that you would be forced to wear a mask in some stores, It's happened so quickly. It has changed everything in just a matter of a few weeks. And it seems that almost every day, the rules change. The federal and state governments are making rules faster than we can keep up with them. The president and governors are taking it upon themselves to make rules, laws, without going through the regular due process of going through the Senate and the Congress and all of those things, in the name of expediency. This is an emergency. It has to be done now. And all of this happens so quickly. Life will never be the same again. Are you confused? Are you uncertain? Are you worried? Are you afraid? Well, don't be. Isaiah 26:3-4 says this: Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If we keep our minds on God, if we keep our minds on Jesus, trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So if you need strength for this, if you need courage for this, go to the Lord. Now, I enjoy putting puzzles together. I don't know how many of you like that. My wife isn't a big fan of that. But my daughter and I do it regularly. Almost every Thanksgiving or Christmas that we're together, we put at least one puzzle together. And we like to put 1,000-piece puzzles together. And I always put the border on first. It just makes sense to me, put the border together. And then I work on areas that have the same color pattern or something like a flower or an animal or a building or a person or something. At first, it's hard. You've got 1,000 pieces to choose from. And you start putting those pieces together. But slowly, as the picture starts to take shape and you start to see things emerging, it gets easier. And as I always get near the end and there are only a few pieces left, my daughter and I usually get into a race to see who can get the last pieces in the quickest. Because they do. They just seem to, oh, there they are. And you're just quickly putting all of those last few pieces in place. And then suddenly, it's done. Every piece is in its place and I can see the whole picture, everything. That's what's happening in the world today. The pieces are being put in place. All of the little pieces that need to be in place for Jesus to come back, they're falling into place. And not slowly. They're happening faster and faster and faster. We can see some parts of the picture that are finished. Other parts aren't quite there yet. Some pieces don't go where we think they ought to, and so we're still wondering about some things. But as we near the end, the pieces will all fit together more and more quickly, and very soon, it's going to be the end. One of my favorite authors had this to say about what is happening in the world today. We are living in the most solemn period in this world's history. The destiny of Earth's teeming multitudes is about to be decided. And again, the agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. Satan's putting all of his forces together. He's getting everything together that he needs. He's putting his puzzle together while God is putting the bigger puzzle together. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world. They are taking place in our world. And the final movements, they will be rapid ones. Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. He loves us, and he wants us to be where he is. My probably all-time favorite Bible text is John 14, 1 to 3. It goes like this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Remember, we must follow God, not man. We must trust God, not man. God is coming soon. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus tells us what it's going to be like when he comes again. He told us in Matthew chapter 24, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." I can't wait. I'm so excited. I've waited all my life to see Jesus. And we're closer today than we were yesterday. And we'll be closer tomorrow than we are today. He's coming back very, very soon. In the book of Revelation, 6 times, the author tells us that Jesus is coming back quickly. The first one is in Revelation 2, verse 5. It says, "I will come unto thee quickly." And again in that same chapter, verse 16, "I will come unto thee quickly." And then in chapter 3, verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly." And then in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, he says it 3 times. Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." Verse 12, "And behold, I come quickly." And the next to the last verse in the Bible says, "Surely I come quickly." And he is. He's coming quickly for you and for me. Heaven has been planning for this event for thousands of years. An entire city, empty, is waiting in heaven for those who are going to be residents there. The greatest banquet in the history of the universe is waiting for those who are going to be guests at that banquet. Is there any question in your mind? It will happen quickly. Will you be ready? Let's pray. Father, we know what the Bible tells us, that very soon this world is coming to an end. We can see the pieces falling into place. We can see the signs all around us. Lord, we need to be ready. We can't do that on our own. We ask for your Spirit to come and fill each one of us, to change us, to mold us and to make us into the image of Christ. We know he's coming back for those that are following him, for those that love him and want to be with him. And that's our desire today, Lord. And we pray for all that they may hear this message and that they will respond to it. Now be with us through this coming week. We don't know what's going to happen, but you do. You hold the future and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done in all things. Amen.